So, right, Istanbul, New York, Amsterdam, of course they have unique cultures. But is the same true for less obvious spots? In his new book, Unruly Places, social geographer Alistair Bonnet writes that familiar places can also be extraordinary. Doug Gordon asked Bonnet when he first realized the power of place.
My brother, Paul, and I, we used to make these dens, flatten down some sticks in these ugly old bushes around the corner from our house. And to the rest of the world, it looked pretty squalid, I'm sure. But to us, it was fantastic. And we were able to stretch and use our imaginations, like all kids do, and think about what's the kitchen, and this is where the dragon lives, and I'm bringing in the marmalade. I don't know. And that is, I think, for a lot of us, our first contact with place, making place.
Yeah, inventing our own places, our own private places.
Yeah, and that is something I come back to time and time again. For places that work, places that are enthralling, they kind of remind us of these early childhood places. I think we're all very familiar these days about places that look pretty much the same, and we can often move or drive between different places and not really realize we've even moved at all because they're all becoming a little bit identikit.
Are these the generic landscapes? Are these the strip malls and housing estates that you're talking about?
They are. And it's not just the landscape. It's the fact that it's so easy to move between them and to spend all your life thinking about moving and traveling and mobility rather than the places where you might want to arrive at.
What kind of impact do you think those landscapes have on us, not just as individuals, but on local culture as well?
Well, you know, some people think it doesn't matter. But I make the case in this book that places are fundamental to human identity. And if we don't have distinct places, places which are able to give us a unique and interesting sense of our own personal identity, then we lack something. We become continuously dissatisfied. There is a lot of angst out there in our relationship to place. And I think a lot of us want a more intense and more interesting relationship to place.
Mm-hmm. You also say that we're better at destroying places than building them. I thought the example about Mecca in Saudi Arabia was really surprising.
Yeah, it is surprising. I mean, 95% of old Mecca has been demolished, and it's been got rid of for strip malls, for Starbucks, and for highways and parking lots. It hasn't been got rid of for mosques or anything like that. Although the actual rationale for the destruction is religious. The authorities in Saudi Arabia say, well, we mustn't have old buildings because people start to venerate old buildings. And the only thing that should be venerated is Allah. And with this excuse, they've demolished this beautiful ancient city and replaced it with a generic landscape. What an extraordinary story.
Which, of course, raises the question, is the power of place really potent enough to threaten people who are determined to shape a culture their way?
Yes, it seems so. Old places and memories instilled in old places do seem to be one of the enemies of people who want to impose an ideology. And this is true of Mecca, but it's also true of what happened in Soviet Russia or in communist China. The first thing that these authoritarian regimes turn their attention to, or one of the first things, is the places of the past and getting rid of those old places and building a kind of shiny new city is their way of cementing their ideology.
Yeah, it makes me, the situation of Mecca makes me think of that Picasso quote, every act of creation is first an act of destruction. Is there a chance that Mecca could possibly reinvent itself? And
that's interesting, isn't it? But when all you've got is destruction, it's very difficult to see how that can lead to a future, and creative possibilities.
Yeah.
There has to be a balance between these forces. What one finds in destroyed landscapes is memories. People are going to be nostalgic for old Mecca because that's the one thing you can't destroy, the sense of loss.
Mm-hmm. The memories, that live on.
Yeah.
Throughout the book, there's a theme about how being more curious about our cities, towns, parking lots, highway islands can kind of enliven the places we live. Do you think that engaging our places in a new way can make for more imaginative and creative culture too?
Yeah, I think so. I think we often think about buildings and architecture separately from this broader concept of place. What I'm trying to do is get us to realize that a imaginative relationship to place is actually central to a enjoyable, creative and happy culture. And one of the things that stimulated me actually was the urban exploration movement in the US.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who have decided that the new frontier of exploration is under the streets of their cities or in the abandoned buildings. These are the explorers that are trying to imaginatively recolonize the day-to-day city and find within or under it undiscovered possibilities.
Have you done any urban exploration yourself?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm claiming to be in at the start of this thing. We didn't call it urban exploration. We called it psychogeography. And it was in the early 90s I started this magazine on what came to be called urban exploration. And, yeah, we were following maps of the Berlin metro around different cities in Britain, you know, using the wrong map, as it were, to guide you around, which can get you into all sorts of interesting locations.
Yeah, didn't you use the Berlin subway map to guide you or orient you, or should I say disorient you, as you were going through a Newcastle daycare center?
Yeah, yeah,
so
I know.
So what did that accomplish?
Well, what did it accomplish? Well, it got us really profoundly lost and it disorientated us. And the idea is you only see the city afresh and anew if you are prepared to get lost. We had this kind of, ideological avant-garde agenda, to be honest. And the urban explorers of today have, I think, thankfully and quite rightly rid themselves of a lot of that baggage. A lot of them are just on there for the ride and for the pleasure. We imagined it was some sort of incredibly subversive political act wandering through a daycare centre using the map of the Berlin metro system. News to us, it wasn't. It had no particular political ramifications.
You haven't tried the reverse, have you, Alistair? Like taking the Newcastle Daycare Centre floor plan and tried to use it to navigate your way around the Berlin subway, have you?
That is such a good idea.
There it is. We should do that. I'll come over and we'll do that. We'll meet in Berlin and do this. But do you think there's a way that sense of place has an effect on us, not just as individuals, but also on the culture, both ruly and unruly places?
Well, place is a collective enterprise. That's one of its glories. A connection to people through time and a connection to the other people that might occupy that spot. Oh. So place is always a collective thing. It's always about people, not just me or not just you. And those societies that are losing their sense of place, and to be honest, that's nearly all of us. Sometimes people in America imagine they have a particular problem with nowhere landscapes or generic retail malls, and that isn't the case at all. You can go into Italy or France or Britain or at least any country in the face of the world today, and people are asking the same questions because they're seeing the same things out of their windows. They're seeing places which did have distinct identities being replaced by non-places. And which society is answering these questions best at the moment? Well, it's going to be those societies which are, asking the question, which are forcing themselves to confront this dilemma of place.
In unruly places, you mentioned the new ghost towns in China. And China's in the midst of this great project to build entirely new cities to house millions of people in from the countryside. In fact, this is the new age of urbanization, with cities growing faster than ever. If you could advise urban planners on how to build a vibrant, engaging place from scratch, what would you tell them?
That's interesting. I mean, there is a challenge, but the places that work do tend to be ones that are drawing on something. They draw on a history. Everywhere we want to build, people have built before. And the mistake is to imagine that one can erase all that and create so-called new towns. So my advice would always be look for the history, look for the roots, draw on the styles and architectural references that existed in that place before. And that isn't just a question of aesthetics. It's because I think people psychologically and culturally need a sense of historical continuity. I think that we can feel a little bit alienated by the idea of the kind of tabula rasa of having to do everything ourselves in an empty moonscape.
That's social geographer Alistair Bonnet. His new book is Unruly Places.